Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The weather, as of late, it's been complicated for most. Those frigid temperatures create even bigger problems when it comes to the homeless shelters across the state. Today, we learn more about those complications and how those among us manage to help others in need. Lisa Allison is the executive director of the Cornerstone Rescue Mission in Rapid City. Lisa, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you, Lori, and thank you for having me.
Amanda Stitt is the development coordinator for the Bishop Dudley House in Sioux Falls. Amanda, welcome to you as well. It's almost a cliche at this point to say it has been cold. So, Lisa, let's start with you at West River and tell me a little bit about how the temperatures have affected the Cornerstone Rescue Mission's work.
Well, cold weather and hot weather in the summer always makes a difference because, you know, it is literally life or death for people, especially in the cold weather. And the last thing that we want is anybody freezing to death. So we just take in anybody. We're open 24/7. So if somebody needs to come in at 2 in the morning, they're just as welcome as if they come in at 4 in the afternoon.
Give me an idea of how your numbers change then. How many more people come in when the temperatures are like this?
We usually get about, on average, about 30 more people than we normally do. We have people that choose to stay in the homeless camps when the weathers are nice, but they will definitely come in to stay warm during this time.
Tell me a little bit, Lisa, about the Cornerstone Rescue Mission and how long people can stay. How is it set up?
Oh, okay. Well, we have a separate women and children's mission, and then we have our main mission, downtown Rapid City, where we have a veterans wing with 38 beds, and then we have 60 beds on the emergency shelter side. But we had 40 people on the floor last night, and so that's pretty standard when the weather is really, really cold.
You mean 40 people sleeping on the floor, not in the beds?
Yep, nope, they sleep. That's in addition. All of the beds are full, and we have 40 people sleeping on the floor. We put mattresses down, cots down. When we run out of mattresses and cots, we put blankets down and people can lay on those, but they're in the hallway, they're in the lobbies. The women and children that are excess overflow from our women and children's mission sleep in the basement floor. We pack them in, but we do it because we just want to give them the care that they need.
Amanda Stitt, let's bring you into the conversation. Bishop Dudley House in Sioux Falls. Start by telling me a little bit about your facility, please.
So we're an ecumenical facility, and we have capacity for 80 men, 20 women, and 7 family rooms in the back. And just as they're seeing in Rapid City, we have been running over capacity for the last few weeks as well, about 10 to 15% each night over capacity. And we're doing the same things. We have cots, we have mats, we have blankets. And we're just kind of trying to find room to put everybody in.
Amanda, what do people need to understand about homelessness in Sioux Falls that maybe they don't understand? What are you seeing on a daily basis that you just wish people knew?
So, you know, Sioux Falls is such a growing community, and we're so proud of that, and it's such a great thing. But we're bringing in all sorts of people, and sometimes we're bringing in people that are looking for opportunities. And so we're seeing a big increase this year in homeless people that came here for an opportunity, that were going to stay with a friend or family member and that fell through, or expected to get a job a lot faster than it actually worked out. And so we are seeing an influx of people that are homeless because they came here looking for opportunity. And I think that's something that's not always considered when we talk about homelessness.
Lisa, same question. In Rapid City, what do people really need to understand about homelessness in your city that maybe they don't?
Well, you know, I would agree with what Amanda had to say, that we do get people that come here or, you know, their housing falls apart. There's a lack of affordable housing in Rapid City, and the housing that we do have is way beyond their ability to pay for it. So we do act as a transitional housing facility, too, where people will stay for months on end while they search for a job and save up money, because the last thing we want to do is have somebody get a job and move out right away and then 3 months later not be able to sustain their apartment and be right back. So we do get some of that in West River as well. We are the only homeless shelter in West River, so we have people from West River that come for a variety of reasons.
Let's talk a little bit about what needs to happen next. What do your facilities need in some ways? You can, you know, wave your magic wand a little bit, Amanda, and say, you know, do you wish for more space to house the people that you need? Do you wish to not exist because nobody needs you? You know, where does your mind go when I ask you that question?
Well, if I had a magic wand, I would like $30 million.
Okay.
You know, more space would be great. We only have 7 family units here, and so I think our biggest wish would be that we would be able to help more families. So having more space to put in more family units, because each week we have a meeting with county and with a couple of other entities, and there's always a waiting list of 20, 25 families that need a place to go. And so I think if we had a wish list, that would be it.
20 to 25 families waiting for a spot in 7 family suites. What happens to those families while they wait?
Typically, and that would be for any place in Sioux Falls that serves families. They get together and they talk about it together. But usually when they wait, Minnehaha County is great working with families, and if they don't have a place for them to go, they'll put them up in a hotel, or it might be a situation where they're staying with family, but a whole family is staying in one room, and that's not sustainable long term. So we find places for them to go, but, you know, while they wait for an actual room here, it can be a little bit.
How long do they stay when they're there, Amanda, a family? Is there an average? Is there
a
goal?
Our average time right now is about 33 days.
Okay. And during that time, what sort of services are provided to sort of help them figure out what's next?
Well, it's really great. We work alongside of Minnehaha County Human Services, and they do casework with each family. So they meet with them twice a week to make sure that any assistances they need, they're getting. We have a family coordinator here at the facility named Kathy, who works with them every week and just makes sure that, you know, where are we at? Where do we need to be, and what do we need to do to get you there? So it's a lot of hands-on work.
Lisa, same kind of questions. First, let's wave your magic wand. What would you like to have for Cornerstone Rescue Mission in Rapid City that you think would move the needle a little bit and make progress in fighting homelessness?
Well, again, like Amanda, you know, money is always forefront because we're always trying to make budget. The needs continue to rise on a daily basis, and, you know, it gets expensive. So money is always needed. We'd also like to be able to buy a bigger van, other than just a family size van, a bigger van to be able to transport particularly women and children, because we do have to take some of the children to school. But if I could, I would do have half of my emergency shelter. There's a section of it for my women and children's home that I would like to expand. But that takes money for renovations to add showers and things like that. And then I could get the women off of the floor of the men's mission and put them into the women's mission. But as Amanda can probably attest, you can find grant funding to build buildings, but there's very little to none for operational expenses. So even if I were to able to renovate that second half, I would have to be able to staff it as well. So that's problematic, too.
Lisa, there's been a lot of news about changes in Rapid City, about sort of consolidating some services. How does that all impact you? How are you watching that?
Well, we've been a part of the discussions just in the last couple of months. So we are interested in the concept as Cornerstone, as a facility and as an agency, but there's a lot of questions that we need to have answered. They want to build a bigger campus, and we would definitely be a part of it, but it's not anything that we have decided to do yet, just mainly because there's still a lot of questions and answers that need to be asked and answered.
Are you seeing, Lisa, themes, you know, as you deal with families and individuals over time, do you see themes that, you know, are kind of that's underlying the problem here and therefore can kind of point to some solutions?
Well, obviously there's some drug and alcohol issues and some mental health issues, but the biggest issue that we see in Rapid City is the lack of affordable housing. There really is nowhere for them to go. So that's why we are an emergency shelter that has turned into transitional housing for some of our people, because they don't have anywhere to go. There's no apartments that to move into that they can readily afford.
Amanda at Bishop Dudley, how long has your facility been open?
We've been here for 3 years now.
Okay. And the community, I know when when you first were planning the build and planning what you were going to do, the community had input into that. How has the community sort of accepted or not accepted the presence of Bishop Dudley? What are you seeing from the neighborhood?
From the neighborhood, I think at first there was some hesitation. You know, you always want to help people, but you never want it right next door to you. But I think they're seeing the positive things that we're bringing to the community, you know, getting people off the streets. You know, they're having to do less phone calls for, you know, minor issues like loitering and graffiti and things like that. And so it's been a really great turnaround. We have neighbors that, you know, plow our parking lots and come, you know, just do, you know, little things that can help that they know that they're able to do now. So it's been great, and we have a wonderful community surrounding us.
Where are you located again in Sioux Falls?
We are at 101 North Indiana Avenue, so we're just over the bridge from downtown.
Okay, and that is that the Whittier neighborhood then, or?
Yes.
Pretty cool. Yeah, so this is the neighborhood that I grew up in, and I remember some of the conversations, you know, that were happening during the time when you were opening, and a lot of people were coming out saying, that's what we do in this neighborhood is we help each other. And I thought that was a really fascinating thing to see a neighborhood in Sioux Falls really claim that identity as their own and saying, of all the neighborhoods in Sioux Falls, we feel like we help people. And that was sort of fun to watch. You feel like that has been played out a little bit in your neighborhood over the past couple years?
Definitely. I mean, a lot of our associates are from this neighborhood. You know, we get a lot of our donations from the direct neighborhood that we're around, which is really encouraging to see. You know, when the people that are directly around you are supporting you, that's the biggest boost that you could get.
Right. A shameless plug for my hometown neighborhood there, Amanda. Let's. I'm sure people who are listening are wondering, you know, how can I help? Are there things that I can do? You've both mentioned money. So let's talk about volunteers and donations and community support. Lisa, let's start with you. What can people do? How can they get involved with Cornerstone Rescue Mission?
Well, there's several ways to donate. I mean, not just financially, but people can donate of their time and their talents. We have a volunteer coordinator, and we have a list of volunteer positions. And if there's something that people want to do that's not on their list, we're more than open to providing the opportunity for them to do that. And, of course, donations of furniture, household goods for our thrift store. That thrift store proceeds, that goes ahead and helps us with the Women and Children's Home, and clothing, you know, anything. If you see winter hats on sale, buy them and bring them down to the mission. We're always in need of cold weather items.
Amanda, same thing, I'm sure. Expand on that. Anything else that that you take volunteers for or donations for?
Yeah, definitely. So we have, again, just like they do, we have volunteer positions that are available, you know, check-in and doing the front desk and lunch and things like that. But if there's something that somebody has a talent at that we could utilize, we are all for that. And then just donations of items. You know, we do a light lunch here. And so, you know, things that don't spoil, rice, noodles, number 10 cans of fruits and vegetables, things like that, that can really help the facility and, you know, kind of cut our costs would be great.
Amanda Stitt is Development Coordinator for the Bishop Dudley House in Sioux Falls. Amanda, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Lisa Allison, Executive Director of the Cornerstone Rescue Mission in Rapid City. Lisa, thank you as well.